Hello there. This is How to Die Alone. Hey guys, it's the How to Die Alone podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Stephen Henry. With me, as always, is Matt Williams.
Matt Williams.
Mm-hmm. And David Wayne.
David Wayne Skies.
I'm sure he does. And then our guest today is the host of the FUBAR Weekly Podcast, Mr. Roger Nelson.
Yay! The fuck is Roger Nelson?
Yeah,
Nelson. So that's quite, who is Roger Nelson? He's nobody.
Yeah, that's what we try to find. Well, because like it always, if you follow him on Facebook, he disappears quite a lot.
And then that guy Nelson Roger shows up.
Exactly. It's like you never see you never see him in the same place.
We might be the same person. We may not be the same person.
Right.
You just don't know.
So why does Roger Nelson go away on Facebook?
Because he's bad. Because he's naughty. Because he's naughty. Because he's offensive religiously, grammatically.
Yeah, because...
Appearance-wise.
I thought
aesthetically.
Yeah, I thought for sure he was going to go away. Because it happens all the time. Like I thought you were going to go away again because... That old headshot Tuesday or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Was it a picture of JFK?
Yeah, but I mean, you could say, oh, that's offensive, it's violent, but it's depicting a historical event.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like the last one that I know of that I got banned for, which was the ISIS strip club.
Yeah.
The four goat's asses and that really excited-looking Muslim-looking gentleman. That was religiously offensive. I could see how somebody who's fucking weak as shit can get offended by that. But, you know, JFK, I mean, that was a still frame from the Zapruder film. It wasn't like I posted the meme like, you know, Jackie looking fine as fuck and him just laying there. She's fucking trying to crawl out of the fucking car.
Yeah.
You know that car still exists?
The Lincoln.
The Lincoln. Not only does it still exist, but they cleaned it out and continued to use it as a presidential limousine.
Ew.
They put the hard top on it and continued to use it for.
Well, yeah, you'd have to do the hard top now. You can't do a convertible.
That was the last time a president, while in office, rode in a convertible. It kind of like ruined it for everybody. It was fucking Dallas day.
Yeah. Well, now they have the Beast.
Yeah.
Like it's
Beast. What the hell are you talking about?
Holy shit!
Yeah, that's what they call the I guess
presidential vehicle.
It's based off of a General Motors platform, but I think a specific coach builder builds it.
Right.
But it's built off of a Chevy Suburban frame, but it looks like a Cadillac, and it weighs like fucking 10,000 pounds. The doors are like a foot thick, armor-plated, triple-paned, bulletproof glass.
So
it's bomb-proof, run flat tires, it. It's got fucking everything.
Yeah. So I'm confused by the naming convention. There's like the Air Force one for the plane, the Marine one for the helicopter, the Beast for the ground vehicle.
Air Force one, Marine Corps one, those are official designations. And those only take that designation when the president's on board.
Yeah.
But the Beast is an unofficial nickname given to it because it's a fucking beast. I mean,
yeah. The only thing that can take it down is just like a bad angle over a hill, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Transmission goes out. No, we're rolling backwards down the hill.
Yeah, no, they were driving it somewhere. I forget. But there was like they went up and
probably a railroad crossing.
Yeah, well, it was like up on it went up underneath the because it's too long and it went up the ground went up underneath it and they couldn't. Move.
Oh, it got wedged.
It was like bomb proof and like grenade proof and all this. But
all you have to do is defeat it with a hill. It's like like the Titanic. They built it to be unsinkable. What screwed it? Piece of ice.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a big
frozen water.
Yeah. Frozen water.
And they're in
it's
water.
Like they spent a fortune making those pens you could write upside down with in NASA.
Right.
And the Russians just use pencils.
Yeah. Let's see. Over inch. It's a $20,000 for a hammer.
The one of the coolest things to watch is actually the secret agents. The name of the guys that watch
Secret
the
Service agents?
Yeah, the Secret Service agents, Watching them, like, they all have to be trained to drive that car. So, like, that thing can go, like, 90 miles an hour backwards and shit.
Oh, the thing goes, it's power. That thing's got power.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because, like, JFK, they did a BBC, like, presentation of him. Like, he was in Tampa the week before Dallas. Like, the week before he died, he came here and was like, there's footage of it because some college kid at the time, was, like, running around following him all around town. So he caught all this footage, and he was in the convertible, and he's, like, sitting on the top of it. Like, not in the seats like he was in Dallas. He was
like, parade style.
Yeah, he was actually on top of it, and they were just cruising. But there they had, like, I want to say like 100 something motorcycle cops, maybe more. And then in Dallas, there's like two. It's like, right.
Well, the speech he gave that day when he was in town was at, I can't remember what the fuck it's called, on Howard, just south of between Kennedy and 275. There's an armory that's now like a Jewish center.
Yeah.
In that armory.
Well, it wasn't called Kennedy back then. It was called something else.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Main Street.
60. State Road 60.
Yeah. It was nuts that I watched that. And, like, it's funny because they were talking to the Secret Service agents. And back then, they had people that already didn't like Kennedy, you know, for sure. So, to keep a lookout for them, they had flashcards with, like, people's pictures on them. Because they didn't have cell phones or any of that. Stuff. Still so, like, do that. Still, so, like, still be on the lookout for this guy. And they'll pull out, like, flashcards. It was just funny.
Well, that's what they did in the Middle East with the terrorists. They had a deck of cards with the, it was a deck of playing cards, you know, regular poker deck, with the most wanted terrorist pictures on them. So they would have those pictures imprinted on their heads as they were gambling.
So you would be limited to 52 targets? Like if there's a 53rd guy, you just get away with it?
No, that's the Pretty Joker.
Much. Yeah, it's the Joker. Yeah, there's two Jokers in a deck plus the one card with the instructions
with
on
the
how
instructions,
to...
instructions, yeah.
On how to waterboard?
He's the ISIS account. The ISIS account.
Hey, it's enhanced interrogation techniques. It's not torture.
Right. Hey, I didn't say that. But I just heard that Joker's wild.
Pretty wild.
Yeah, Zapruder film's nuts, dude. Like, we've all seen that. I used to joke about that. Like, we've all seen the Zapruder film. Like, that's a human being dying. Like, a real person. Nobody cares. But, like, if a fake horse dies in a movie, people fucking lose their shit.
Yeah, that's me.
You have, like, PETA and stuff. People start crying.
Oh, yeah.
But you'll watch JFK get his head blown off, and everyone's like...
In real life.
Well, the thing is, exactly. It's so crazy how we...
The thing is, in movies, they make it so much more horrific when someone or something dies.
And also, there's theme music behind it. You know, there's, like, sad music. I guess if you watch the Zapruder film with, like, a sad symphony...
There just needs to be a guy, like, next to JFK getting his head blasted with a fucking violin or something.
Yeah.
A really sad cello piece.
then it'll tug at the heartstrings.
Are there any happy cello pieces?
No.
Not at all.
Maybe the Imperial March. Is there a cello in that?
I don't know. I watched some guy playing on a mandolin once. Pretty cool. Dressed as Darth Vader.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you know it was a guy?
Because I really have no problem with assuming somebody's fucking pronouns. How about that? Don't give a shit either way. He was dressed up in a male figure, so there you go.
Okay, I got you.
And you know Darth Vader is a male because he is Luke's father.
That is true.
Exactly.
It's James Earl Jones, he's black.
Right.
He once got an award that said James Earl Ray on it.
Jay did?
Yeah, you know who James Earl Ray is.
No.
He's the guy that assassinated Martin Luther King.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Somebody fucked up and put James Earl Ray on this. Well, I forget what award it was, but...
Yeah.
Maybe that's who they meant to give the award to.
Maybe.
They're like, we like your work, James. Don't worry.
You're a good shot.
Was that in Biloxi or something? Or Montgomery?
Memphis.
Memphis.
I think it's in Memphis. I think.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually turning out to be pretty informative.
Yeah, dude.
I'm a fucking wealth of really fucking users. I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. Yeah. Remember some weird shit.
I went to his church in Atlanta. It's like tiny as shit. And they have the Eternal Flame going there and stuff. And that's like his... first church.
I'm sure David was like, I'm going to cook some hot dogs on that.
No. There's actually a restaurant I went to next to it. That's the only reason I saw it. Because I'm like,
barbecue joint?
No, it's called it was like a fancy place called Agave. I don't know what it was.
Agave?
Put a fucking trendy restaurant right next to the fucking King's.
When I think MLK, I think Agave.
Yeah, across the street's a cemetery that's connected to the church, and it's just like, you're eating and look out the window. Hey, look, there's Martin Luther King's church and a cemetery.
Bunch of hipsters and like... Fucking handlebar mustaches and suspenders next to the Martin Luther King Memorial.
Oh, yeah.
Drinking fucking EBR.
Yeah.
Bunch of white people like, yeah, we loved your work.
We pushed them out of this town.
That's pretty much what it was. They're gentrifying the shit out of that area.
Yeah. We're helping.
That's why they put the fancy restaurant down. They had like VIP parking, or like valet parking, which is like VIP to me.
That's classy.
Paying someone to park your car is fucking weird. I'm like, dude, I got this. All
right. The only time I'll do that is when there's like not much parking around and I'm too fucking lazy to drive around.
Yeah.
I was tempted to go somewhere where there was valet parking the other night at Pokey's, so last week at Pokey's. I drove past like 10 fucking times trying to find a parking space.
Yeah.
Right. Because since there's like construction going on across from it.
But now the problem is I can't valet my car.
Why not?
Stick shift. Nobody knows how to drive it.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, that... I love stick shift.
I drive a stick, too.
But you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's greatest anti-theft device these days.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll steal everything else off my Jeep, but they won't steal the Jeep itself.
Right.
Just leave the transmission and the radio sitting on the ground.
Clutch falls out.
It's all right. It's almost at that point.
Oh, yeah. I heard it grind.
We heard it. Yeah.
Well, no, I heard it grind because I popped it into reverse. I was going to fly back. I didn't realize there was a guy right up my ass. So I fucking popped it back into gear.
You should be used to it.
As I was rolling. Well, you know.
So we were talking earlier, like, you used to be a foosball player until, what, 2011?
Is that 2013.
What you said? Oh. Okay.
My last game was January 2013.
Right.
The team I played for in New York, I really officially stopped playing, I guess it would have been the fall of 2011. Then I moved down here early 2012. And then 2013, the team came down. The team I played for in New York came down to play the Sarasota Millionaires. And I jumped in on that game. I played my last game down here.
What the
Sarasota
fuck was
Sarasota Millionaires, baby.
Was their mascot like Ted DiBiase from WWE?
No, it was just
it was just him. It was really Ted DiBiase. He lives here now.
No. It was a very it was a very urban.
Gerald Moneybags.
It was a very urban team.
Oh.
I'm trying to remember, Ernie Givens was their head coach.
So the mascot.
He played for the Tennessee Oilers?
Houston Oilers.
When Warren Moon and shit were there?
Warren Moon was on the sideline during this game because him and Ernie did an appearance that day.
The mascot had a grill and like way too many rings is what
exactly. Exactly. Kind of like Flava Flav. But instead of a big clock, it was just like a big dollar sign.
Yeah, it was a big dollar sign necklace.
That was the mascot.
Not a dollar sign, but a dollar sign necklace.
We got our asses kicked.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we fucking got
destroyed. What position did you play?
I played offensive line my whole career, most of my entire career. That particular game, because I hadn't worked with the offense. No, I played D-line that game.
Oh, yeah?
Played D-tackle.
Did you like it?
It's good. I had one
tackle.
What
do you play on the line? Interior or like outside?
Left tackle.
Oh, okay, left tackle.
Yeah, I played all, through the career.
Oh, that's
played
the quarterback's blind side, dude.
Yeah, buddy.
To protect the blind
side. Yeah, buddy. Not saying I was good, but I didn't suck.
There you go.
So. Quarterback gets cracked in the back, and you're just like, fuck, that was my fault.
Yeah, but a smart quarterback, takes care of his offensive line.
That is true.
Yeah.
Hey, he should have. He took everyone else.
You don't want to know.
Yeah. Dude, Peyton Manning did that. Peyton Manning would buy, like, his offensive line in the offseason, like, dinners and trips
fucking,
and shit.
They'll buy him
because they made him look good.
Cars and shit. Well, not just make him look good, but they fucking prevent him from getting killed.
Yeah. Did he just get him, like, Papa John's? I bet he did.
Yeah. Whatever works.
He was like, I got it for you, but, like,
hey, Jeff,
I'm
Saturday,
not paying a fucking penny.
What? Yeah. There's some Papa John's for you.
different things appeal to different people. I remember when I was when I played in college, quarterback would show up with a fucking case of beer, fucking Natty Ice. I'm cool with that.
I went to, I used to go to parties when I was in high school. We'd go to Virginia Tech, and Michael Vick was there.
Nice.
We'd go to, like, frat parties, and he'd show up with, like, the offensive line, and what he got them was women. Like, we show up and, like, girls come up, oh my god, Michael Vick, because he's a star quarterback.
Well, I was gonna say,
so he's just like passing them off to the offensive lineman. He'll hug them and be like, oh, here's my buddy Dave. And then just like
a college football quarterback will hang out with his offensive line. They'll go to clubs and shit together for two reasons. Number one, because he'll take care of the offensive line at the clubs, passing off girls, buy him drinks, whatever. But then that's also built-in security because they're going to protect him off the field and protect him on the field.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I wouldn't want Plaxico protecting me.
Oh, he sucks. He came a few years ago. I was coaching a youth football team in the Tampa Bay area, and he came to do a motivational talk for the kids. This was after all that went down. I'm just like, this is like the worst. What the hell movie was it where Lawrence Taylor – gave the pep? Was it the Water Boy?
Yeah, the Water Boy.
Yeah, that's my next lesson, kids. Don't do drugs. When Lawrence Taylor's telling you not to do drugs, you probably shouldn't.
Yeah. He's like, don't smoke crack.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Don't smoke crack, and apparently don't molest fucking underage prostitutes.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He did that all the time.
Yeah. He's in jail now.
Good job, James Taylor.
Yeah, Lawrence Taylor.
Same thing.
Yeah, the singer Fire and Rain was like molesting.
I've seen Fire and I've seen Rain. I've diddled 16-year-old
fire
lovers.
And I felt rain. She had herpes.
And I came.
And I came. Boom! He was writing a new James Taylor song.
Yeah, but herpes.
You got an acoustic guitar in here. Let's go.
I don't know if I could play that.
Are we talking about Plaxico Burress?
Yeah.
He's from my hometown. He's from Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
Went to Green Run High School. Sorry. It was Green Run.
Best people come out of
it. Yeah, he shot himself in a nightclub in New York.
Yes.
Wearing
yes,
he sweatpants.
Did. Yep.
I used to do a joke about it. I'm like, you deserve to get shot if you're wearing fucking sweatpants to a goddamn nightclub.
Well, shit, if he
plus, his wife was a lawyer. So it's like, why are you holding a gun? Like, that's you're being an idiot, dude. No one cares.
Well, I don't think it was registered either.
Which yeah, we're even you're not allowed to in New York.
Definitely not. New York is fucking
rough. It's ridiculous, it's yeah.
rough as far as firearms laws go, but... I've bounced at clubs in New York City, and the only way he fucking got in with sweatpants is because he was Plaxico Burress.
Yeah.
That's the only fucking way.
Because there's no way they're going to let him in like that, yeah. And then his gun went off.
Yeah, but were they like really nice sweatpants?
Probably like Sean John back then.
Yeah,
or back then, yeah. Or some shit.
No, that was Sean John.
Yeah,
that,
designer that, sweatpants. Yeah. It's like, get right. the fuck out of here, dude. It was a thicker cloth. Like,
it's a higher thread count.
Yeah, higher thread count. It's like satin sheets on my dick. I think always go commando in these.
When you're ready yes. to go shooting?
Yeah, that's right. Shooting, baby. You ever hear of that, Roger? Go shooting?
I'm afraid. Well, I mean, yes, I have, but in a specific context. Okay, guns. Okay, then.
Joe Rogan tells a story of his buddy who's like a fucking creep. What he would do is get windbreaker pants and like take sandpaper and like sand it down like as smooth as he could without being see-through. So it's like really like fine, like 1,000 grit sandpaper, 20,000, whatever the highest yeah. is. And then he would lube up and then go to a strip club and get lap dances until he came. He called it shooting.
That's fucked up.
You're from New York? You seem like a guy that might have done something like that.
Strong Island
over there.
Home of fucking fist pumping fucking Guido douchebags.
Well, that's like Nassau. That's like that county. But when you go out west, or east to
it's still the same.
Like Amityville and shit like that.
It's
like
Amityville's right on the Nassau border.
Are you explaining Long Island to?
Yeah, don't explain Long Island. As long as you stay on the South Shore, it stays that all the douchebags flock there.
Explain
then you go to the Hamptons. Yeah.
The place you lived for like 30 years, let me tell you.
Well, yeah. No, the one. What's the one on the east where you can? There's one you can almost see Connecticut, like on a clear day.
There's a lot of places. Oh, Connecticut. Okay. When you're on Long Island, is a long island. It's 119 miles long. It's 25 miles wide. So it's long and narrow. At the widest part,
sounds like my dick.
At the widest part, baby,
when at the it, base,
where it's the thickest. Yeah. You're only 20 something miles away from Connecticut. So on a clear day, from most. Anywhere on the North Shore, you can see Connecticut. Okay. I mean, not like during the day, you can just look across and see Connecticut.
Is that where Jones Beach is?
No, Jones Beach is on the south shore of Long Island, facing the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, okay.
Do you just like stand at the beach with binoculars, just watching the Connecticut fucks?
Look at all those rich fucks. Over there.
It's not so close where you can see people. But what's funny is
you fucks stay on your side.
Look at all those bathed, well-to-do people.
I used to work on the North Shore of Long Island, this little town that
stay in Foxwoods.
I like actually Mohegan Sun's better.
Yeah,
I've been there. Mohegan Sun's good.
But there was a ferry that would run, passenger and vehicle ferry.
What was his name?
Ferry, like a ship, not a ferry. If it was a ferry, it'd be Matt Williams. Anyway.
Hey!
Oh.
Oh, I thought it'd be John Stillman. Hey!
Oh, he's not here, so I can't talk shit about him.
Are you freaking yes, you kidding me?
No, I prefer only
I have
to talk
to take
shit.
All these people.
But so people would come from Connecticut. They would take the boat. They'd leave their cars in Connecticut, which got. And they take the ferry across because this town that I worked on Long Island, it was like a tourist community. It had shops and restaurants and bars and all that shit. And then people would be like, oh, let's take the ferry across.
Did they have handicrafts?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
People would be like, oh, let's take the ferry across to Connecticut and see what's there. And once you got to fucking Bridgeport, Connecticut, there was fucking nothing there.
Yeah.
Like, high crime, and there used to be a fucking, like, a high lie fucking...
The court. Only reason I remember that is because of Family Guy, and they're like, this is Bridgeport, Connecticut. And
Bridgeport's
that guy
a fucking shit.
Dear Family Guy bastards. Like, Bridgeport is blah, blah, blah.
The only
they have high lie up there? I thought that was
they used
strictly
to.
A Florida
they used to.
Thing.
No, oh, they okay. used to. They used to be huge up there. They used to have a couple of different fucking places. Frontons. That's the...
Frontons.
Yeah, that's what a high-lie establishment is.
Well, when I went to New York, when I go to Brooklyn, it's like handball's fucking huge. They have like handball courts out there.
Yeah, because there's not enough room to have anything else. Yeah. You got a wall, and you got a fucking ball, you got a hand, there you go.
Yeah.
And a glove.
How much is it to play? Man, $150.
Yeah, rent the court.
Half hour.
Yeah. Pretty much. Except most of the fucking handball courts, especially in the New York City public parks, are, get fucking needles and shit everywhere. Heroin's bad up there.
Well, that makes your game sharper. You got something to avoid.
I get it.
That's true. That's true.
You gotta be real careful with those feet.
Those are like landmines. We're gonna play barefoot today. This is suicide handball.
I played a football game in the Bronx once. at a New York City public park, and it was an artificial turf field. It was pretty much indoor-outdoor carpeting on concrete. It was rock fucking hard. We couldn't even wear cleats at all. We had to wear sneakers. It was it was bad.
Like, don't tackle me. Don't tackle me. I'll just take a knee.
Yeah, it was bad. Played at another field in New York City that was grass, which was right next to a sewage treatment plant. Like, literally right next to it. Like, right. The sideline, 5 feet, the wall of the sewage treatment plant. Right. It was
Toxic swear, Avengers.
It, pretty much.
They don't show this New York in movies, I swear.
No. They show
like the Upper West Side and shit.
Yeah, they'll show you the touristy place. They'll show you Midtown. They'll show you the Upper East Side. They'll show you the Lower East Side. They'll show you the Village. They'll show you
Times Square. Stuff.
That, you know, that's Midtown, and you know they'll show some of the more gentrified places in Brooklyn, but you know they don't show the shitty parts of the city, and there are plenty of shitty parts of the city.
There's no travel show or like House Hunters in Washington Heights, is there?
No, there's not. There are a lot of Hasidic Jews in Washington Heights, so it's
Mom cool. lived in Brooklyn. She lived in Marine Park, and there was a lot of Hasidic Jews there.
Yep,
they don't even talk to you. They don't even acknowledge you. I asked one like what time it was. And they just ghost you.
Nope.
Like, they don't even... You don't exist. It's fucking weird.
They're like angry Amish is what they are.
They just pull into Washington Heights. And like, this whole town smells like curry.
Yeah.
Like, from floor to ceiling, just nonstop. Does the music ever end?
New York sounds so much fun. I want to go there so bad.
It's great to visit.
That's why I would go visit my aunt for like a week in Brooklyn, and then like we never even left Brooklyn that much. We went to some Irish fair in Brooklyn, and then the Italian fair was like the following week.
Oh, the Feast of San Gennaro. Yeah, dude, it's ridiculous. That's crazy,
dude. There's like food for miles. Like they have a table that's like a mile long, and there's just Italian food piled up on it.
What, the Feast of what?
Feast of San Gennaro?
It's all Italians and shit, dude.
Oh yeah,
it's insane.
That is like that is like the Italian version of fucking St. Patrick's Day, where everybody goes fucking crazy Italian. But it's only in this like one fucking area of Brooklyn.
Right.
There's not a sleeve to be seen for miles.
not a sleeve. Plenty of fucking gold chains and hairy chests. Oh, and I'm just talking about the women.
It's just stupid horns.
Yeah.
That's why Italian men grow fucking wear gold chains. Tell them where to stop shaving their fucking chest hair. They grow mustaches to look like their mothers.
That's a spicy meatball.
Yeah. But it's funny, like, you know, when I was growing up, like, everybody's like, oh, are you Italian? You're Italian? Yeah, I wasn't Italian. I mean, I'm Italian now by, you know, I guess sort of injection, and my wife's Italian, you know, stinky pinky action, but, you know, it was a big thing. If you weren't Italian, you were kind of an outcast. But everybody thinks I'm Italian because I have a New York accent and because I'm big and my skin's not pasty white. I mean, not as dark as I used to be, but no, I'm Middle Eastern, man.
You are.
I'm half Lebanese.
How the hell could they take down that ISIS joke then?
I don't know.
You can be like, hey, well, I'm Middle Eastern.
They're Maronite Christians. My family's Maronite Christians that fled.
Oh,
okay. They fled Lebanon.
Yeah, smart. They escaped with their lives, basically.
Pretty
yeah.
much. Yeah. Back in the early, well, I think it was 19, early 20s? Teens, 20s?
Jesus.
Those aren't the sexy refugees.
No, those were not the sexy refugees.
Oh, so they came to Ellis Island?
Wait, yes, they did.
I've been to Ellis Island.
Have
you ever been there? Did you look through the book and all that shit?
My great-grandmother on my father's side, well, my fraternal grandmother's mother, her name is on one of the bricks and in the book. I don't know if they ever confirmed my mother's side of the family, because it was like this whole process we had to go through.
Oh,
it was a big thing.
It was cool. Like
I remember when they refurbished Ellis Island, was a big thing. My father had my great grandmother's name on a plaque.
Oh shit!
In Ellis Island, but she came from Poland. That grandmother came from Poland.
Okay,
I'm Polish, Irish, and Lebanese. I'm a dumb drunk camel jockey.
That sounds like a bit.
It is.
Yeah,
it is. Like that whole that whole ancestry joke like falls flat anywhere else but New York, because everywhere else nobody gives a shit.
Yeah,
you know. But growing up, it was like, oh, what are you? I'm fat. I'm hungry. That's what.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Why am I
fat and hungry?
Well, that's because if you go like two blocks over, it's like a totally different country. In
exactly.
New York.
Exactly. Flushing is now Frushing. They're all Korean.
Yeah. Korean.
It's true. I'm not making this up.
Really?
Yeah.
Neat.
Neato. But the, you know,
Williamsburg's all white people.
I don't know. Like,
it is now.
Yeah, now. Yeah, it's all gentrified.
See, it's
you know, like Bed-Stuy, where Biggie Smalls is from, selling crack and rapping on corners. It's all like hipsters riding fixies.
everywhere. It's crazy. Everywhere, dude. Especially along the water. Like my Polish great grandmother. And when my father grew up is an area called Greenpoint in Brooklyn. Oh, and that was a big Polish, you know, neighborhood.
Delis everywhere.
Polish delis like, everywhere. Well, there's only one that matters. It's called Sikorsky's, and that's where you go to get your kibasi. It's the best place. Oh, yes. But I remember as a kid, we'd go into this place, and there was always, you know, fresh off the boat Polish girls that would work working there, and they were all cute. Mm-hmm. And they were, it was, you know, it was cute, and they'd slip you a little sausage, and you'd, you know,
you'd slip so them a little sausage.
You were 12, hey-o. So you'd imagine slipping them sausage later on.
Yeah.
But now I went, my stepdaughter, now she lives in Astoria, and we went cruise through Greenpoint. The house my great-grandmother lived in is like 75 feet wide. No, it's not 75. It's like 20 feet wide and like 75 feet deep. Tiny little house. The size of the house is the size of the property, like the buildings next door, but right up to it. Selling for $3 million, this tiny little duplex.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Ridiculous.
It's all white people now.
But that's the thing. The whole thing's old. And it's the only house on the block. Everything else is industrial. It's
yeah.
the only
because they're house. Pushing. They're pushing everybody north.
Yep.
Like so. Like, well, they, Harlem,
not so much north. They're pushing everybody inward. So the gentrification starting from the coast and pushing in. Greenpoint is pretty close to the water.
Do you think they're ever going to take Brighton from the Russians?
No. No. KGB they'll never take. They'll never take that from the Russians, and they'll never take Howard Beach from the Italians.
Because like. They're never going to take over because there's too many tracksuit stores and shit like that. Like they would never fit.
Well, in. Howard Beach
is that Italian or Russian? Which one?
Russian.
Okay, because they're both tracksuits.
There's something about Steven in tracksuits. Like whenever he gets to mention tracksuits, he's like, "I'm putting this into the."
Oh, he loves it, dude.
Yeah,
like, I'm fascinated by.
It. Oh, they're awesome.
The Italian mafia isn't what it used to be in New York. I mean, when I was a kid, it was the Italian.
There's something now, to aspire to.
Not so much because I wasn't Italian.
When I was a kid. Dude.
I wasn't Italian, you know, I'd end up like fucking.
You could pass.
Well, I mean, I'd end up like Henry Hill, that fucking rat bastard piece of shit. May he fucking burn in hell.
Anyway, bastard,
that bastard. But you know, growing up, you'd see, you knew the mafia was around. That was at the height of John Gotti, and I remember when Castellano was killed, and seeing the news stories about.
Well,
that.
As a kid, though, they could have used you as like a runner and shit, because that's probably what they did.
Yeah, but I didn't live in the city. I lived out in the fucking suburbs.
Oh, that's
but
true. Yeah.
You'd have made a hell of a mule.
I would have. I could fit a lot of shit up my ass.
Like he's Middle Eastern.
Hey, but the
friendly made for it.
Yeah. But Howard Beach is where all their families still live, and you could tell whose house, like not necessarily whose house it is, but you could tell it's somebody who's connected because they got stone sculptures and fucking lions and shit on their family.
But giant bath, or not a bath, but what is a fountain in their front yard?
Yeah, pretty much like a tiny little front yard, but with this fucking giant stone fountain.
Takes up really. You got to walk around it.
But that was a cool. I worked as a private investigator for a while in New York City, and that was the coolest experience I ever had. Was working a case in Howard Beach.
You were a dick.
I was a dick. I was a private dick.
Private
gumshoe.
You
know, certified yeah. circumcised private yeah. dick. Anyway, that's the Hebrew hammer. But it was a three-way intersection. So I'm sitting on this
rest
corner.
Rest in peace, Greg Giraldo.
Yeah,
sorry.
That wasn't Greg Giraldo.
Yeah, he was.
It was Ben Silly.
No.
Hebrew Hammer was Greg Giraldo.
Oh, yeah?
No.
You're wrong. Google it.
Google it.
I think it was
Jason Schwartzman, I think.
No. I can't remember his name, but it wasn't either of them.
What?
So I'm sitting at this three-way intersection, and this woman comes in. It was in a black Ford Taurus.
Adam Goldberg.
That's
a Jewish.
That's all right.
I still love you, Greg.
I know my Jews.
Yeah.
I know my Jews. But so I'm sitting on this three-way, and so I'm watching a house down the street. And they're all coming out in their fucking bathrobes and black socks and slippers. And I'm watching to my left, and there's a knock at my passenger window. So I roll it down a crack, and it's a woman. I said, "Can I help you?" She's like, "I know you're watching somebody, and I know you can't tell me who you're watching, but if you want something to drink or you need to use the bathroom, I'll be in the house all day."
That's when you got in smashed?
No, that was like the safest I ever felt.
Really? I'd have been like, no. They want me to leave. If I go in the house, I'm going to end up like Joe Pesci.
Yeah, that's
fucking Goodfellas.
That's something you don't do.
Yeah, that's all. Like
do not go in that house.
But, you know, there were rules to the way things were done. You know, they didn't... even though I wasn't a cop, they didn't know I wasn't a cop. Yeah. I looked like a cop. I was in a car that looked like a cop car.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, basically, it's... as long as I was sitting in my car and not...
As long as
you're
on the street.
As long as I was on the street,
yeah.
They wouldn't fuck with me. And if anybody tried fucking with me, they would actually protect me.
Intervene, yeah. Yeah, because like you said, but they're probably no strangers to having like police vehicle sitting outside exactly. their fucking house.
So. Exactly. So that's why they were all coming out and posing, and because they don't know who I'm watching.
Oh, they're all out there peacocking and shit. They got the gold chain, smoking a stogie.
Now, the worst was I had to go into
feathered
the red
silver hair.
And I did workers' comp invest. It was workers' comp insurance. It wasn't even like doing anything like a marital thing. It was anything sexy. It was an insurance investigation.
Really?
So, workers' comp could be sexy.
No, not at all. Not at all when you see
I tripped and fell on a dick.
But I had to interview somebody in the Redfern houses in Redfern Housing Project in Far Rockaway. And a buddy of mine worked in that precinct. It's 101st precinct, the NYPD. So I called him up and I said, I got to go into the Redfern houses. He's like, no, you don't. I said, yeah, I do. I got to interview this guy. He's like, we don't go into them. I'm like, well, I have to. I'm like, can you help me out? He's like, all right, we're on a traffic stop. Just pull up in front, stay in the car, keep the doors locked. Do you have a vest? Yeah. Do you have a gun? No. All right, well, just wait for us. So put your vest on. And so they came, him and his partner escorted me into the building, up to the apartment, stood outside the door until I was done doing the interview, which was like 20 minutes, escorted me out. He's like, get in the car and get the fuck out of here.
And that was what, an insurance thing?
It was for workers' comp insurance, because they don't know who I am. They don't know why I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a white guy. The reason why I quit that job is the guy that was my boss was out of Boston. And I'm working at the Polo Grounds Housing Project, which is in Manhattan, right along the Harlem River. And I'm trying to find this guy. And I can't locate this guy for shit. So he's like, well, you know, do you have any disguises or anything? Not like we had like those creepy, cartoony disguise, but like a fucking, a fucking hat, sunglasses, some, like a dirty flannel,
you'd be
dirty
a jeans. Nice construction worker, a cowboy, a police officer.
Exactly.
Pretty much the village people.
I always went for the Indian chief, you know. But
keep it low key.
You in a loincloth would be
so amazing. He's like, why don't you just go sit in the hallway? I'm like, I don't think you get where I am right now or what I look like. This is the Polo Grounds Housing Project, and I am a 6'4", 320-pound white guy with a shaved head. There's no masking that I'm not living there or I'm not there to not follow somebody.
It's obvious.
And it was a whole fucking head-button thing with this guy, so I ended up just telling him to fucking piss up a rope. I'm done working here.
So you run into Denzel Washington, and he said King Kong has got nothing on you?
I did not. Okay. I did not.
You had to cover up your shoulder tattoo when you're curb stomping?
Bulldog tattoo?
But,
You know he has got a tramp stamp.
Yeah. I like this. We need to make a fucking road trip and, you know, get a couple fucking decent comics from Tampa, do a road trip, go up to New York, and fucking terrorize that town. It needs it.
So he's not booking any of us.
Right, yeah. I'll let you know if I find some.
He has to come. You got clean driving history, so.
Yeah.
All right, good. Yeah. That's all I care about. No, I'll be up in New York next month, and then, like, I'll be up there the 22nd, 23rd of June.
Is
and
it
then,
called, like the 40 comic road show?
We could do that. We got a fucking school bus. I'd be one stinky ass school bus.
Oh, yeah, that's nuts because like there's like this like little feud or whatever that lasted, you know, 12 hours on Facebook with like Tampa and Orlando comics.
Oh, I see it. That flares up all the time. It's fucking stupid.
But it's so funny because like these newer comics are coming out and we're hanging out at Pokies and we're just telling them stories about how other comics got into fights out there and the guy came back with a gun. What else happened?
Just fucking with them?
Yeah, no, this is a true story. Like,
oh,
two,
really?
Two comics got into a fight. I'm not going to name names, but two comics got into a fight, and then the and one left,
that the
got
one
his
that
ass
got his
kicked,
ass beat, yeah.
comes back later with a gun.
Oh, Jesus.
And, like, the other guy had already left. So he's like, he wants to do time, and his face is all fucked up, and he's smoking a cigarette. Well, he wasn't smoking in there, but he had it in his hand, and it was backwards.
Nice.
Like, so it's like so out of it.
Yeah.
He's trying to do comedy. It's hilarious.
That's awesome. I hope somebody got video of that shit.
Oh, yeah. I think there's like aftermath of it, but
nice.
It's just like the Tampa scene is like, I don't know, man. We're fucking gritty down here. I love it, dude. I love the craziness that happens. Well, so we go to New York and they're like, wow, you guys are fucking, especially if we go to like Brooklyn or like one of those hipster
things. You'd be surprised how welcoming the New York comedy community is.
Oh, okay.
Like, see, I like heard real. The opposite thing. It was like
everyone's mileage may vary. Yeah.
Right. True. Yeah, because he was, like, I talked to, you know, another guy. He was just saying how, like, most of the comics that he met in New York were all just, like, to themselves, not chatting or tagging anything up with anybody. It was just go in, head down, wait for your time, go up, do your set, leave.
Yeah, I mean, if it's your first day there, you don't know anybody, you know, they're not, you know, it's like anywhere else. Like, when I first started doing comedy here, it was trying to figure out who's who, and I'm antisocial anyway. So
you are psycho.
I am. I am very psycho.
I feel like most comics are antisocial.
You have to be. But, you know, probably, you know,
well, with civilians, we're social with other comics.
My experience with New York is probably different because I know people. I have a following in New York. I can go and, you know, people, I have shitloads of people coming out to my shows in New York.
And yet you're here.
Humble brag.
Because I fucking live here, dude. Yeah. I have a humble brag. It's just, it's the way it is.
Yeah.
I mean, if I did a show.
You live somewhere for 30 years, you're going to know a couple people. Oh, yeah, and you move away and you come back to do a show, they're going to come. It's just the way it is. I love them all. But it's just, you know. No, a humble brag would be like, yeah, fucking sell out every, I could fucking sell out Madison Square Garden if I wanted to.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, easily. No, man.
Polish and the Italians, yeah, you can find
I fill up huge venues like the Little Room at Governor's, which is like 60 seats.
Nice.
Boom. Yeah. That's all you need. That's perfect comedy size.
You can do coconuts.
It's a nice little room.
Yeah.
But again, it's because I'm from there, so I have more roots, more foundations, easier to get.
You got more people to pull in. Yeah. If I did a show in Virginia, I could probably get, you know, maybe 100 people out. Because it's like, you know.
But the key is you go up there and do one show, you get 100 people out. Go and do a second show, how many are going to come out? It's going to be a hell of a lot less.
Yeah. Right. Maybe. I know a lot of people.
So that's why. And like that's what I'm looking at. Like I got one show I got to promote for.
I got David Humblebrand.
The one hitter quitter.
Yeah. I got to promote a show for June 30th and then promote. I'm sorry. Yeah, June 30th or the 22nd and June 30th. June 22nd, June 30th. I'm doing, you know, two big shows on both those dates. So it's like if I get everybody to come to the 22nd, you know, not everybody's going to come to the 30th. Or if I really push the 30th, then 22nd is going to be short.
Yeah.
So it's like, because they're not going to come, it's a week apart. You know?
Yeah.
But don't you have like two sets?
Oh, yeah. That's what I have to do. I actually got to put three sets together because the 22nd is a birthday show, so I'm pretty much just going to roast the guy whose birthday it is.
Right.
And then the other one is two shows that night, so I'm going to actually have three sets because I don't want to do the same set twice in one night. It seems weird to me. Even though the audience will be completely different people, just in my brain, it's weird.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's crazy.
Speaking of crazy, was it funny the other night when I brought Ian up on stage to be my standby laugh track?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was good.
Oh, the pokies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should have met that shit show last night at Pegasus.
We'll talk about it offline.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about it online.
All
right, whatever you want to do, I don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I wasn't in it. I was just there for the train wreck. Right. It was great. Yeah.
Like, that place, I did that show.
The
that
new
place.
One, though, right?
Yeah.
I was talking about how Tampa's crazy. Like, the old one, they were doing a show there, and somebody got shot in the parking lot.
Nice.
The old one.
Well, I don't even know where the old one
is. When Jarrett was on stage, I think.
Yeah.
Like somebody got shot while Jared was on stage?
Jarrett Moore. I think he was like doing jokes and someone got shot in the parking lot.
That's awesome.
It wasn't a comic. It was just like a guy that was kind of like in the parking lot being a dick.
Yeah.
So, and all the comics were like, that guy's being a dick or something out there. And they were all talking about it. And then 20 minutes later, somebody came up that wasn't having it and just shot the guy for being a dick.
Nice.
Yeah. It was, you know where the Yingling factory is over there?
Yeah.
Oh, Bruce B. Downs, I think it is.
Yeah.
It's right. It was in a strip mall, like right across from it. So.
I like the
but, like Rio and all them are like clamoring out the back and shit. And Clark's like, "Oh, what's going on?" And Rio's like, "Get the fuck out of here!" Like,
Clark's trying
to help.
Did they have tables set up in that dance floor area in front of the stage, or was it just wide open?
Yeah.
Okay. When I was there a few weeks ago, it was like wide open, so everybody's crowded over at the bar, like 50 feet away from the stage.
Right. Yeah.
And you have this huge open space between the stage and the fucking bar. It was just weird.
Yeah, they put tables there last night, but the 273 crew sat there.
Yeah. Yeah.
This crew from Gainesville came down with like shirts and shit. It was fun.
They came with matching shirts.
Yeah. All of them.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Like, I hope they hit an embankment on the way home.
Yeah, I think one of them was a rapper that does stand up on the side.
Yeah.
Or a
comedian that does rap on the side.
There's the guy that stole your stage name, though. His name was Lunchbox.
That's my son's name. His name's Porkchop.
I asked them, like, what they put out on their record label, and they said a little bit of everything, and I'm like,
I doubt they are fucking playing Scandinavian death metal.
I don't think they have a bunch of country artists for some reason.
You don't think they've been doing bluegrass? They're doing fucking bluegrass covers of fucking Tupac songs,
right? That'd be awesome. Actually.
I was like, yeah, it would.
I was like, well, you just go to any coffee shop in any like hipster area, and that's what you'll have.
Yeah, there you go.
Like mandolin covers of Biggie.
It was just such a silly night.
Yeah.
Like, there was people on the show that weren't booked on the show, and then there was people that were booked on the show that didn't do the show. So it was like...
And my favorite was there was a guy with a bandana at the end of the bar, and he was just drinking pitchers of beer by himself.
Was he like yelling, "Play Freebird, motherfuckers"?
No, he was yelling
at
the TV
yelling
and
shit. Random shit.
Yeah.
He was watching the hockey game.
He was there at the last Pegasus. I think there is actually like something wrong with the guy.
Oh, so it's I'll get to that.
Yeah. Okay.
So, well, yeah, he
came from the old Pegasus though. And so I guess he heard about the new Pegasus, and now he comes the new Pegasus.
So yeah, he was sitting at the end of the bar, and Katie comes up and tells me, and she's like, I don't think he's wearing pants. Like,
is no mas pants.
Not wearing pants. And like I look, and he just walks by, and he's wearing just like boxer briefs. And I see him walk back.
Was his dick hanging out?
No.
Good to know you look though.
I see where he was sitting, and there's like rollerblades next to his bar stool, just like up against the wall. So like he rollerbladed in boxer briefs. And he's got like a laptop bag around his shoulder the whole time, and he's just
purse.
He went through two or three pitchers of beer, and Katie told security, "I'm like," she said, "that guy's not wearing pants. Like, are you gonna like tell him to go?" And they were like, "Oh, he's got brain cancer."
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that makes it okay.
Fuck it, dude.
He got arrested later on that evening for rollerblading while intoxicated.
Yeah, because that's what it was, kind of like a built-in heckler, because it's like he will respond to like stimuli, like they still had all the TVs going, of course.
Yeah,
like
they had the playoffs game.
Yeah, so he would watch the show a little bit. He'd hear a keyword.
Nice.
He would yell the keyword and repeat it back, and then he would see the hockey game. They'd go, "They're playing hockey," but he's screaming it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like.
Did he have Tourette's?
No, I think he had like the cancer must have really fucked his brain at this point.
Yeah, because it's got to be pressing on something. It's kind of like it's like if you're a substitute teacher, and they're like, there's something up with that kid, because that's what happened. There was a kid that had Tourette's. I was like, I'm pretty sure he has Tourette's. Then I asked one of the kids later. I was like, oh yeah, okay, that's why he does that. So that was kind of like. That's one of the staples of that establishment, is that guy, the rollerblader guy in the corner. Yeah. That
rollerblader
in
the boxer
pounds,
shorts.
Yeah,
the pitchers
of beer. But I guess he pays,
and
he doesn't bother anybody.
He's YOLO on the way out. But like,
shit, he's not really bothering anybody by sitting there yelling out. It's like, not any other asshole heckler, you know?
Right, yeah.
It's not like anyone was listening anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But like the thing he was saying, like I finally caught what he was saying, because it was just noise to me until I realized he wasn't wearing pants and had a fucked up silly brain and shit. But like he was screaming at the TV. He's like, that's how I want to die. I want to die playing hockey. And I'm like, I don't think he's thinking this one through.
What, roller hockey? The fucking
that'd be a horrific way to die.
I know. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
Is he an older guy?
Yeah,
he's probably like in his 50s, maybe, I would say.
Just nice. Like, what, going through the fucking plexiglass when some guy like, hip checks you?
Yeah,
be nice to him. He doesn't have much time left.
Yeah, no, that was... It was one of those things where you're like, what's... okay, yeah. Yeah, I was like... It's like, as long as he doesn't touch me, I guess I'll be fine.
It's not how cancer works.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he just doesn't want to be fucking touched.
Yeah.
You're too close. Like, on my way out, he just starts groping you.
Yeah.
No, sir, I'm not a woman. Yes, I have tits. But I'm not a woman. Like, he just starts groping me.
Yeah. He's like, I know.
I'll just let him go. He's like a dog. Just let him finish.
He starts like rubbing Matt's balls. He's like, no. I can tell your future.
I feel have a bandana on.
I've been
feeling,
touched in the brain.
I have a feeling if he started rubbing Matt's balls, Matt's going to start running his finger through his hair.
He didn't have
that's
hair.
That's the way I like
cancer.
It, Daddy. Oh. All right. Cancer Baldy. Nice.
Yeah. Start running his hands through the
bandana?
No.
The light rustle of the bandana cloth.
Through that fault line in his head from the scar.
Fault line. That's the medical term for it, too.
No, what is it called? Scars, I guess.
Fissure.
Yeah. Fissures.
He's got that San Andreas brain.
Ooh, that crevice. Crevice.
Yeah,
so he was hanging brain.
People yeah, could just people can just play pool with him, and they can just put like you know quarters up in the crease.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I call still, table.
People were still playing. People were still playing pool. Pretty much
people
the whole
weren't
show.
A comic one.
Yeah,
that's a
surprise. Yeah. He's not a person.
John Lennon.
Yeah.
I was like, hey Jude, I got next.
And yeah, it was like if, like 20 feet out from the stage, you couldn't hear anything because it's like a tin can. Like there's nothing to absorb the sound.
Sounds like a mumble rapper. Yeah, it was just all mush mouth.
I don't know. You were there for Pokies. Mm-hmm. With the were you there when the one guy fucking flipped out about the old guy being on his phone?
No.
What are you talking about? Are you talking about LC?
I don't know what the fucking guy's name was.
Was it on Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday night.
The black dude with the camo hat?
Yeah.
Who signed up as Cindy? Yeah.
Is that what he...
LC. Logan Charles III.
Yeah, he started giving... Awesome. Some old guy was, like, looking on his phone, so he, like, started telling him, like, I'm a fucking big, you know, I'm a big deal or some shit, you know.
I'm playing Plant City this weekend.
Yeah, I'm doing a show. I don't know. Was that a bit, or was he just... was he serious?
I think he says... He's probably joking.
Yeah, he says that all the time.
Because he was kind of a dick, and, like, as soon as he was fucking done, they all just left.
Yeah.
And he was, like, the third comic up. Like, way to fucking support the scene, dick.
Walk the room.
He's like, I'm doing a show in Plant City, like... That's the that is when you know you made it. When you can fucking do a show in Plant City.
Well, he used to be like a big Def Jam comic, like back in the day. Yeah. He used to like open for like D.L. Hughley, I think, and those people and shit.
Okay, what'd you do last
Black
week? You
know? Yeah, I know, I'm just saying.
There was someone at Coconuts who was like proud of the fact that she walked like two people right before I went up, and then afterwards she was asking me to like give her a ride to the Iberian, and I'm like, no. Like, why?
I'll call a cab for you, lady.
Yeah, like, why am I going to give you a ride when you walk my audience like that?
Yeah,
like that's the point that we're at right now. Is like, two people are my audience, but god damn it, you took them away from me.
And you tried to.
Yeah,
like if she did it by accident and was like, oh, I'm sorry, come back or like whatever, I'd be like, okay. But she's like,
or just being that bad.
Yeah, she purposely tried to walk them, and I'm like. I'm not putting you in my car. I'm not giving you like more places to fuck up our scene.
One night at O'Brien's, Rio's up on stage and there's two black ladies sitting in the audience that he ended up walking them because he was doing his bit about, you know, you can't get a job because you got convictions thing.
Yeah.
And these two women get up all angry saying he knows nothing about the black experience and fucking leave. I'm like, really?
Like, he is black, like, with dreadlocks.
Really?
Like, what?
Like, I mean, he's not like the darkest guy, but I mean, he's not the lightest guy either.
I've heard his comedy; it's pretty dark.
Yeah, he's pretty dark. Well, not wrong dark, wrong dark.
Wait,
but that's it. Like, they left because I'm like, really?
God, there's inner turmoil in the black community. I thought they stuck together regardless.
That's what I thought.
I guess if there's no white people involved,
I don't know. If he's an Uncle Tom, then that's fucking the world's in a sad state.
Yeah, that bar keeps getting lower.
Yeah, I love Rio.
Rio's the best.
Well, he'll make the joke, whatever the joke is, regardless of.
Makes fucking funny jokes. That's
what
he does because he's a fucking comedian.
Yeah.
And if you get offended at shit, if you go to a comedy show and you get offended, just kill yourself when you get home, seriously. You know what? Don't even wait till you get home. Kill yourself on the way out.
Find the other person that didn't enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Run into their car.
Yeah. Do a murder suicide. That's always fun.
Yeah, because like that was, I was like, you can say whatever joke that you want. It's like, go for it. Awesome. Like, I'll hear a joke and go, oof.
Now,
but like that's about it. But I'm not gonna go like, don't ever tell that.
Yeah,
joke
you're not out there.
Now,
you
now,
or,
like, now again,
but then again, maybe I'm dead inside and I don't have that many things that.
Someone was telling me that like some comic last night was telling me that another comic was like a white dude was doing a joke and he was gonna call MLK the N-word, and he was like, he stopped the dude before he did it, and I'm like, that's not your job.
Right. Yeah. Like, now again, you need to, but again, you know, certain jokes you shouldn't do in front of certain audiences. I mean, if you're doing a fucking, you know, benefit for St. Jude's, you're not going to make a kid with cancer joke.
You can only control you, though.
Yeah, true.
Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't think it helps anybody to, like, step on another comic like that.
Yeah, exactly. But then that's why you book a show.
Regardless if you think it's acceptable or not.
Like, everybody given What's-Her-Face, the bro that did the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Michelle Wolf.
Given her shit for doing Trump jokes at the White... It's the White House Correspondents. It's not the president fucking ball. It's the fucking White House Correspondents. She played to the audience.
Yeah.
You know, I may not have thought... I mean, a couple of her jokes were funny. I may not have loved it, but again...
There was
some more flat, but most of them were pretty. You know.
Yeah, I was watching them. I was like, these aren't that like over bad. The top or like crazy.
I mean, I thought. Like, do I think they could have gotten somebody better? Probably.
Well, I also the idea that people are offended about it at all because like the dude they were directed at didn't even go.
Right.
So, like,
yeah.
You're offended for someone who wasn't even there.
Right. Yeah.
That's the craziest thing to me. It's like, It's like if you're in a room full of white people and you tell a joke and, like, the punchline is, like, something off-color about race and, like, all the white people pull back, it's like, what are you offended about?
Yeah, that's how it always is.
It's my sensibilities have been...
You know what it is? It's because when you say that, they don't want to laugh because if they laugh, they feel like...
they're bad people.
Yeah, or not just that. Like, it's really... They have those thoughts possibly, too, and they're really racist inside, so they combat that by being overly... You know, a top against that.
Yeah.
On behalf of black people. I'm not racist because I'm sticking up for them. It's like,
I'm not racist. Dude,
you're going, really aggressive right now with it. It's like, are you hiding some shit inside and you're trying to cover it up now with this? That's how I look at it.
Well, yeah.
It's like, if you're just like, fuck it, you know, oh, it wasn't funny, or, you know, like Matt said, like, ooh, that was a rough one. That's it, though. But you're not going to go to fucking war.
See, I feel that way
over it. Because it's like, who gives a shit? You're making a stand that has for something that has nothing to do with you. You know what I mean? It's silly.
Look, I don't mean to, like, go after the big dogs or whatever, but, like, Louis and, like, Jamie Kilstein, not a big dog, but, like, those people were very against what they were actually doing, supposedly.
Oh, so yeah. It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Kilstein did it because of his wife.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby. Enough said.
Yeah.
You know? But I had, you know, I think I've told you all the story. I've talked about it a million times. The one comic I
Charlie
made the
Rose.
I made a joke. Yeah. I made a joke about, you know, Halloween costumes being sexy.
And okay, yeah.
You've heard the joke, and we're instead of handing out.
Well,
you know,
I don't
candy,
remember it, so I'm
well, cost, I'll give you a nutshell.
Yeah,
Halloween costumes getting ridiculously sexy. Trying to be a sexy nurse, sexy Ebola patient. Instead of candy, I'm going to hand out rape whistles and Plan B.
Yeah, that's funny.
I had a fucking Orlando, and I'll fucking call him out, an Orlando fucking comedian.
Yeah.
Giving me shit that I'm victim shaming and I shouldn't do that joke.
Jesus Christ.
Go suck a dick, you fucking asshole.
You know what happened was he's probably date raped someone in the past.
Oh, it's probably has.
Dude, it's the whole, like, you know, like, when you with, like, a couple, you think your girlfriend's cheating on you. Or, like, they get really, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? Who's that? Who's on the phone? When they get overly paranoid, it's because they're cheating on you.
Yeah.
That's
or
how
they
it works.
Want to, or...
Yeah, and this and this fucking guy, like, so he made a whole big thing, like, he's the fucking champion for calling me out.
Because
on
he's date raped women in the past, and he's feeling guilty about it, so now he's got to correct everyone else for
it. Projection's a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And it's actually
you
a funny joke,
his name. I know who it is.
You do?
Yeah.
What's the name?
I know who you're talking about.
Ooh.
Tell me.
You're talking about Jared Scott.
Yes, I am.
Who the fuck
Why
is
he
cool
out other people? I just fucking ignore
him. Oh, yeah. He's one of those people. There's a bunch of people, like, on their little wall, because that's the whole reason their group exists, is for that shit. Like,
yeah.
The new group exists to just be, like, the rallying cry for, like, a bunch of heroes and shit. And it's like...
I'm gonna call this guy, like, I don't know who the fuck he is, but I'm going to call him out about, you know, about his fucking joke. Well, go fuck yourself.
Well, the thing that's funny is there was this thing.
How that's victim shaming. You're actually looking out for them.
That's what I'm saying.
Someone posted, how do you tell if a joke is tasteful or distasteful? And like my response was, if it makes me laugh, it's tasteful. If it doesn't, then it's distasteful. And I'm like, just apply that to everyone at an individual level.
See, I don't know about that, because there is some distasteful shit that I'll laugh at.
No, that's what I'm saying. If you're laughing at it, it's tasteful to you. Like, you're not.
Oh, no. I'll find shit. Like, not, it doesn't offend me, but I'll recognize something as being offensive, and I'll still think it's fucking hilarious.
But so that's not.
I think
it's not distasteful. Yeah.
That's his definition. That's
what I've laughed at shit.
No,
that was
I can understand how shit can be offended to people, but fuck you, because that's funny.
Yeah, exactly. Funny is funny.
Exactly.
That's my point. It's like if it makes me laugh, it's not that offensive. And
I can't think of any subject matter jokes that I won't fucking laugh at.
But
what I haven't made jokes about.
What one person said was just like the hero shit, which is just like if it's punching down, it's distasteful. If it's punching up, it's tasteful.
No, sometimes punching down is funny sometimes.
My question is, who defines?
Exactly.
Like, who defines what down is? And like, I think it's kind of insulting to say that someone's down.
Are you trying to direction shame me?
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's ridiculous.
It's really.
And
like,
if I am, you can go fucking deal with it. Put on your big girl panties and fucking be an adult for once in your fucking life.
Work out your shit.
I could just save space with fuzzy walls and shit and stuffed animals.
That's
you can
what it
snuggle
is.
With.
Is people don't want to work out their own shit, so they project out to the world.
I get
that's
more
it.
Offended by if it's just a shitty, poorly written joke.
Yeah, that's my big problem.
Like most of mine. So I don't give a fuck.
No, I mean,
like if it's a take you've heard a billion times and it's like a fucking street joke or.
pandering.
It's like work for work and it's not part of something that, like, yeah. When I'm like, ugh.
I just hate pandering, you know, like the shitty, like,
It's a 30-second story up to a pun.
It's a water cooler joke that you heard at work. Or it's a Facebook meme and you're saying it on stage.
Come on, you're not supposed to do that?
Don't do that. But you admit it, and you own that shit, so I can't be mad at you for it.
It's not even that hacky.
Mildly hacky.
Yeah.
It's hack adjacent.
It's acceptable hacky.
I want to be a shade to the hacky side. I don't want to go full blown, but yeah, whatever. I don't care.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, well, at least he's relatable.
There you go.
Then I'm like, well, at least he's nice to me, so whatever.
There you go. So, and that's all that matters at the end of the day, really. I mean,
It's like, as long as I get booked and they're nice to me.
That's what makes Rogers, you know, not hating you so special, is that he hates so many people. You're like, I must be pretty great. Yeah. He tolerates
the way I say with hacky jokes. The way I say I find some hacky jokes fucking funny.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what do you find? What do you call hacky? Because, like, I think almost we have most people have a similar idea of hacky, but, like, I guess
A would obviously be something blatantly stolen, not even parallel thinking or just some blatantly.
Well,
stolen.
that's being a dick.
Well, that's but,
you know, and then, right. and then
hacky like, to me is like you can see the punchline coming.
Yeah.
Which
and then they nail it. You and can you're see like, the and it gets coming. Laughs, even though it'll get laugh in a but comedy club. Thing. It's just like comics are like, I saw that.
But
coming,
but here's the thing: when you're doing a paid show, you know, not when you're doing an open, but when you're doing a paid show, people are in that room that paid to laugh. That's what they want to do.
And audiences are dumb. So
yeah. For sure. And that's fine.
They don't see shit.
Kinda. They're there to laugh. If they, you know, I forget where the fuck I saw it. I think it was an article with an interview with somebody at Sidesplitters where if people want to see flies fucking, you know, we'll provide the flies.
Yeah.
You know, people come to a show to laugh. If the joke makes them laugh, that's fine, because that's the audience. Not the comics sitting in the back watching you, judging you.
You shouldn't do comedy for other for comics.
The back of the room?
Yeah. If you do that, you're just going to be a bitter, you know, JD comic wondering why he never gets booked if you're just, like, constantly shitting on comics.
Yeah.
So it's like, I understand that you're playing to the audience. Like, there's... Like, when I did... You did Tommy Corner Bar or whatever right down the road there.
The one
that audience is going to be way different than a comedy club.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, I knew there's certain shit that I can do here that wouldn't work over there. And that's just, I think, comes from doing comedy long enough that you kind of understand
that. Yeah, you offended somebody at that show.
Did I?
Yeah. I forget what the hell you were talking about. There was one guy sitting at the bar, like, yelling that it's too early for that kind of joke. Like, it was something dirty.
Yeah.
I know, who cares, but it was, I think his reaction, being like, oh, it's too early for that, was fucking funnier than probably the punchline. No offense.
It was fucking funny. Like, the difference between depression and being sad, and he's like, oh.
Well, he's sitting in a bar that's full of fucking smoke.
During the day.
Yeah. During the day, it's still light out.
Pounding whiskeys.
Yeah, you know, you're too early to hear something about fisting, or whatever the fuck it was. Like, that's what your sensibilities are.
Right.
Go fuck yourself.
John Whitmer's fan club he brought with him the first time Tommy did that.
Yeah, I was there that night.
Yeah, I did the Batman joke, and she, like, did the little, like, church marm shit on
and I would have been like, I actually bit my tongue that night, because as soon as I got, I went on before my son did, before Raj did, and then this lady runs up.
You got to open for Little Raj?
I got to open for Little Raj, which was uncomfortable, but, you know, this lady runs up, she's like, we don't want to see you, we want to see the kid. I was going to be like, fuck you, lady.
That's you know, funny. I'll take the talent.
That was half a handicapped parking spot lady the following weekend.
I will spank the talent in front of all
But then as we're leaving, and what's funny is as we're leaving, this woman comes up to Raj, and she's like, my daughter's 12 too, and she's really cute. Like,
ew.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, really? What trailer park are you in? You know, it's like,
I want your kid to fuck my kid.
Yeah. You look like you got good genetics.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have his papers? Man, we're not breeding dogs here. What the fuck is this?
I just want to make sure he's clean.
Yeah. It's funny. She looks at you and Little Roger and it's like, good genes.
Good genes. Good genes.
Gotta get a
piece of that. His teeth are straight.
I want to keep that in the family.
So that was when I hosted Bucky's 2 weeks ago.
Now, Missy, some women in there. And you
some women can be chubby chasers, too, right? Some women are
Missy,
chubby chasers.
You get in there and you suck that 12-year-old dick. This family needs them jeans, all right? I don't want to be living this trailer my whole life. Make something of yourself, goddammit.
So last week.
If she only knew how bad Little Raj was at football.
Yeah.
Oh, is he bad?
Oh, God. He's getting there as a comedian.
Yeah,
we'll just have a backup plan.
I can't wait for a comic to go like, why is he running the same five? He always runs.
He had a couple more.
That's good.
He added a couple more.
Yeah.
I told him he's got to add another like 2 or 3 minutes because he's doing like 2.5. He's got 2.5 minutes with the jokes that he had, and he added 2 more in at Pokies.
He's like, the opener, he's like, so homework, am I right? Yeah, that's so funny.
No, he walks up and says, what's up, bitches? Oh, yeah. Like he grabs a room.
He's
like
edgy. Edgy.
I wanted to say, what's up, motherfuckers, and he wouldn't. I gave him permission, and he wouldn't.
It's great that you gave him permission.
Yeah, he could say that and be like, it's okay, my dad gave me permission. Like, that's going to get a laugh right there. You know what I mean?
Just confidently brush his shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Constantly look at his dad after every joke.
He's funny, but he's at that 12-year-old stage where he's got zero confidence in himself. So it's like, I'm not funny.
I still don't have any confidence, so he's doing great.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm not funny. I'm like, you're fucking funny. Just write shit. Just fucking write. Oh, yeah. I don't know how to make it funny. I'm like, I'll help you make it funny. Just fucking write.
Yeah, we'll punch it up. Concepts. Well, he probably doesn't want to write with you, though.
Yeah.
If he finds somebody else that wants to fucking write with him, go for it. You know?
That's true.
Here's the thing. I'm not pushing him to do it. He asked me to do this.
Okay.
You know, and if he tells me...
That's what I wanted to ask, actually. Like, that didn't come on my mind. I was like, did you drag your kid out making good time?
No.
I want to see a Netflix documentary called Trophy Kids about parents pushing their kids into comedy.
No, it's one of those things where I'm not necessarily against it, but I know the way the world works.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's something he wants to do, I'll work with him to get him what he wants. But he's got to want it, is my thing.
Right. I think
I don't care what he does. If he's into something and he's going to work hard at it, his problem is he's fucking lazy.
Oh my God, you sound like a dad right now.
Yeah, I know. I hate that shit.
What do you think? Like,
I'm sorry, all right? I'll work harder. Like, God.
What do you think the comedy kids...
Don't work harder, work smarter.
Oh, okay.
What do you think the comedy kids thing would be like? Like, you would just take the kids' food away for bombing that night? Yeah.
No, beatings.
Trophy kids, he's backstage. Beatings. You didn't fucking pause long enough. Your timing was off. You
step it on your laugh lines.
You don't get dessert. Dessert's for headliners.
Right. You can order everything off the starters menu of dinner tonight.
ABH, always be headlining. Yeah.
But no, he wanted to do it, so I said, write a couple ideas, and he wrote a couple ideas, and we cleaned them up. The one joke about fighting childhood obesity, he came up with like 3 hours before the show. We were driving back to my house for something.
Right.
And he's like, oh, you know, they're just trying to fight childhood obesity. I'm like, that's fucking great. Write it down. Like, every time he comes up with something funny,
by the way, write it fucking Little down. Raj is not skinny.
No. No. No one in my family is.
No, yeah, so because he's like, got little.
Yeah, because he's the great thing about that joke too is that like he's not, you know, like it's self deprecating, but he's like he's not yelling like, oh, I'm fat. He's making a it shows that like self awareness. He's like, yeah, I know I'm fat, and he makes a joke about childhood obesity.
A friend of mine from back in New York, you know, saw one of the video clips I posted of it, and she was like, oh, well, I don't think it's right that he's making fun of himself for being fat. I'm like, he's a comedian. 12. He's 12. He's a comedian. He's in middle school. He's a fat
talk about
kid.
Fucking politics.
Yeah.
What do you want him to talk about?
Dude, well,
that's so weird. What are you supposed to do as a comic? You're not supposed to acknowledge like anything about yourself.
You're supposed to make fun of everything and anything that you experience.
You can't
in your
punch
life.
Up, Steven, if you're punching down.
Like I don't think. Yeah. Like I don't.
You need to be able to put that. The fun in funeral. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't want to laugh at that, but I couldn't help it.
It happens. Last funeral I went to, we were fucking tailgating at it. We had coolers and beer and shit in the parking lot. It was my grandmother.
Yeah.
That's what I was happy about for Little Raj. Is that that too. I can't wait for that. But it was the fact that like he's doing something that so many people like I put off until I was 30.
Yeah.
I didn't start till I was 30. He's less than half my age, and he already did it. So I'm like, that's amazing.
And he's having fun. He loves doing it.
So if the math works out, he's twice the man any of us are.
No, he's not. He's related to me. It's Irish. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Irish.
If anything, you know, it'd be hilarious. Like, he just grows up, and even if he doesn't do comedy, he becomes like a motivational speaker. Loses weight, cuts his weight, and like, oh, yeah, you know what I mean? Who knows? Like,
what's fun, dude,
I never did public speaking because I was scared of it. So it's like, now that he has that, they said that's like one of the biggest fears in the world.
Yeah.
People have is like public speaking. Yeah, so if he's already gotten over that fucking age 12, that's insane.
Which I was experienced in public speaking before I got into comedy because of my jobs, which I don't really want to talk about, but I'm used to speaking in front of large groups.
Yeah.
But that was instructional or informational. It wasn't trying to appeal to
them. It's not something you wrote. It's something you were laying.
Well, no, it was something I wrote, but it was a speech. It was, you know, it wasn't you know, trying to be funny. It was trying to inform. But now,
I'm sure you peppered in some jokes in there.
Hell yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
That's what she said. Moving on. No, I'm
kidding. That's my favorite line.
Yeah.
But you know, so I was well-versed in public speaking before I got into comedy. Comedy just takes public speaking to a whole new level.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing I noticed, big difference between public, when you're public speaking, most of the people that are there to listen to you don't really want to listen to you, but they have to listen to you.
Yeah.
Comedy, so it's like an open mic.
Yeah. Almost.
Except they don't have to listen to you.
Exactly. Right. Well, no, most of the time they're forced to listen to you because they part of their job is learning what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
it's informative, yeah.
Exactly.
or it's something they have to check off a list. Like, yeah, I want to.
Exactly. And you know, with comedy, you know, the hardest thing was grasping that, you know, you have the first five words out of your mouth, you got to win them over.
Yeah.
Or you're done. Yeah. And it was getting that because I could... Whether you liked me or hated me or wanted to hear what I was saying beforehand, you had to listen to it.
Yeah.
Now, if they don't like it, they just tune you out.
Well, for me, it's like informational stuff like that. It's easier. Comedy sucks because... Not sucks,
you
it
need
hurts.
Feedback.
It's not just that. It's... When you're doing the informative thing, you've obviously researched it, put all these things together, and now you're presenting just information. But when you write a joke, it's like, I've worked on this joke or this set for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then you present it to people and they fucking stare at you. Bombing hurts right. So fucking
yeah, it
much.
Does.
Because it's like if they're not paying attention to what you're saying, you're like, I get it, it's boring. But you're like, wait a minute, guys, I took time to actually think about this. And
did you say you need feedback?
And now you're shitting on me.
Was it you that said that or was it you? One of you said you need feedback. With comedy, you need feedback. With comedy, you need to have feedback. Mm, you need
otherwise,
that.
You could just be in your living room talking to the mirror.
If I'm doing an instructional talk for what I was doing, if I was teaching a class, I don't pause every fucking, you know, after every couple sentences for applause.
Yeah.
You know, I just keep going.
Yeah, I hate pausing for applause. Like, it gets in the way so much.
I know.
I'm like, guys, I only have 6 minutes up here. You got to stop clapping.
Stop being so funny.
Happens every set for you.
Or start being funny. I don't know.
Yeah. He doesn't get laughs, just respectful clapping.
Yeah, it's just oh, he said something. We'll just... Yeah.
Ooh, he's trying.
Hey, you ever notice where the applause...
Mr. Macy's write me a type 5. Can do!
When you're doing an open mic, and you get a great round of applause right as you close out your set, are they applauding the job you did, or are they applauding that you're getting off the fucking stage?
I guess that's what kind of feels patronizing about like doing any comedy set, is that like they said, all right, that was, you know, once you're done, you get some clapping, whether they liked it or not, or like it was just, it's like a Pavlov thing, is like, okay, guy with microphone, stop talking. Clap. Now we clap. Oh, did you like it? Oh, no, it's awful.
No,
but you clapped.
Yeah.
Peer pressure.
Yeah. But then again, I think just getting off the dead silence.
Whatever.
The thing that's weird to me is you get the second clap, especially at the mics, because like they clap when you're leaving the stage. Then the host is always like, let's give it up for
it.
And then
yeah, keep
like,
it
they clap
for,
again.
Yeah. Right,
like,
yeah. I'm like,
but there's always like a break between the two claps. I'm like, you could just leave it at the one. Like, this is weird now.
Yeah.
So that's what hosts do. Like, that's the whole point, is to like get the audience to shut up, pay attention, and clap.
Right, yeah.
At least at comedy shows.
I'm good with the one. Like, the authentic clap.
Yeah.
Not the fish for one.
Right, yeah.
Well, but that's like
you're hosting for me this Wednesday, so do it right.
I know.
Do it right.
I just don't like getting the
no
dead
pressure.
Bush clap.
No pressure.
Please clap.
Okay, was that recent or was that from 2016?
That was the last election.
Okay, that's what I thought. Cause it's like it popped back up again. Like, I don't know why, but the
please
clap
up.
Has just started like trending again. I guess
what the no, I don't know.
Because like I didn't even hear about the please clap. Until, like, now.
What, right now?
Yeah. Not, like, the
like
last
I don't even
month,
know what the fuck you're talking
last
about.
Month or so.
Jeb Bush was doing
making
a speech somewhere, yeah.
And then, you know, they're supposed to say you're like, and education is extremely important or something. And everybody
like, you nail that third point, right. You know, like a comedy three. So he nails the third point, and then he's waiting for the applause, and no one applauds.
He puts his head down, and he's like, please clap.
Yeah, he had to ask the audience to clap.
That's fucking funny.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah. It was
Florida Governor Jeb Bush, everybody.
It's like he said everything I felt before. I was like, oh, I've been there. I bet they're so bad, yeah. But you just nail a punchline and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So now everybody's like, please clown.
Well, I hate when comics, I've heard comics do that before. They'll be doing like something and they'll be like,
what, you don't
get it? That joke, last time I did it, got a standing ovation. I'm just like, shut the fuck up. Like, no one cares. Like,
right, yeah.
You're still dwelling on your last set, bud? Like,
or I'll tell them, like, that was funny, you can laugh. Yeah, it was funny, you can laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's well, one of those that always fucks with me.
You do on a pullback.
No, people will honestly like laugh at open mics or something, and then they'll be like, ooh, I'm sorry. And I'm like, nope, no, that's the intended response. Like, that's what I wanted from.
Or like if you'll get one person that's like cackling, and you're like, I'm killing it with that person.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, and then they feel bad because they're laughing so loud. And it's like, no, you're right. These fucking idiots should be laughing too, but they're not.
No, at that point, I address that table, and I'm like, thank you, and just like kind of riff with them for a bit.
Just, they're the show now. Yeah. Just focus on them.
Because it's like, well, fuck all these other people.
It's like, go back to your cell phones.
Yeah, fuck them.
I know you got some candy to crush.
That was, yeah, that's me. Dude, I think I went through like eight levels last night.
I've been playing Mahjong lately.
Mahjong.
Yeah, I can't. I'm done with Candy Crush.
You're an old Asian woman? What are you doing? What
the fuck, man?
Candy smoke.
Maybe I'm an old Asian woman. Okay. Why are you fucking judging?
Roger's sipping green tea out of one of those little tiny cups.
With my pinky up because I'm classy and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
When I think Roger Nelson,
I thought your feet looked smaller. You're binding?
Yeah. Oh, tiny feet.
With the glasses attractive. With the chain on them.
Like waddling with your little cliff foot.
Yeah.
Roger Nelson, the geisha.
Okay. Yeah, right. Just wear a kimono on stage.
Paint my face white with the little lips.
This kimono's breathable.
It's comfortable.
You catching a whiff of my balls downwind?
Yeah, there you go. Just have like it.
See that? So wearing one of those Hawaiian skirts, you know, match a flowered shirt.
Yeah.
Hawaiian
coconut bra. Yeah. Bro.
Coconut. What? Wouldn't be the first time I've done something like that. I have no problem.
Was it
as we know? I have no problem with dressing in drag to get a laugh.
Apparently, it's the worst thing ever. Though.
Yes,
I used to have that in my Jetta. I had a 1986 Jetta. You know how people have like the Hulu girls, like they put on their dash.
Hulu
I had
girls?
A fat one, so she was like real fat. So she like swayed all the way over,
that's
like,
awesome.
Hitting the dashboard.
That is awesome.
I was like, that's all me. I had to buy it. Shit. I had the dice, fuzzy dice in the mirror. Yeah.
If I found one of those fat Hulu girls, I put it on that too. Oh, yeah. I'm right with you.
Did it sweat?
Yeah, I had to have the AC on constantly. I didn't have AC, those had the windows down.
You should just go all the way to the left and just sweat on your dash.
And crank windows. For you kids out there, we used to have to hand roll our windows down.
Had to lean over the passenger seat to get that one down.
Yeah, we unlocked the door, I had to lean over to unlock the passenger
door.
There's
a truck that we had that had these like little triangle, it was like these little triangle the little windows, and then, in the front. Yeah, and then the regular window, and you could turn it in, so it would like...
You the know, wind would hit you in the face. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's, I was like, why don't they bring these back? This is great.
Because every car has AC now, especially in Florida. Yeah. I think it's a law, isn't it?
No, I don't know. It should be.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. Pat Garrity's truck didn't. He had a couple bits about that.
Honda CR-V doesn't?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was
it might have broke. I'm pretty sure it had it.
Well, yeah. I'm sure it had it, but it doesn't now.
Yeah. But I mean, like, when they sell new cars, it's, like, required in Florida.
You have I remember to have riding on the school bus and it not having AC.
No.
It's just, like, the windows a sweat down. Lodge.
Then there's always that dickhead kid throwing shit out. All right, everyone, put the windows up. And y'all beat Timmy up and shit.
Or the windows only open that fucking much.
Yeah. So they can't
Some asshole kid put his head out and hit a fucking stop sign. Mm-hmm. Took his head off. That asshole.
Right, yeah.
Underpass. Let's stick our head out now.
Well, teaches kids to respect the rules of the road. Like,
teach the kids fucking laws of physics.
Some kid gets decapitated evolution. By a sign.
Yeah, that's just Darwinism at its best, right?
We need more of that.
Right.
We need more of that.
If a yield sign takes the top of his head off, you know, it's like maybe...
It's a tragic school bus.
Yeah, and then they could turn it into a math joke. A math joke, you know what I mean? The bus is moving at 55 miles an hour, and Timmy sticks his head out the window, and it's a yield sign.
If bone crushes, it's 50 newtons.
Did his head
what will his
yield
rate
to
of
the
blood
sun?
Loss be? Of arterial blood loss.
It's like in-house R&D. You know what I mean? This curriculum's writing itself.
Well, they were going to have to put him in like a teenager's casket, but with the head gone, they can put him in a child's.
Yeah, nice. Save money.
Fit him in a small container if you run through a blender. Yeah. Just saying.
My grandma's funeral too. Like, it's so fucking expensive. Like, yeah. they rape you for your fucking casket and shit. It's like,
oh yeah,
it's going in the ground. Is that how you get the discount? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, if I'm like, I'm gonna be cremated.
Stack somebody else in there,
dude. But just put me in there for the show and then take me out.
You can do that.
But you can.
Oh yeah. See, here's the thing: the funeral business in this country has gone really fucking crazy. All these family funeral homes that you always see, all of them are corporate, and there's one or two companies that own them all.
Oh, for sure.
They just keep the local family name.
It's like
so,
cable and all that shit.
But they're salesmen. They're forced to upsell. Fucking you can rent a casket for a funeral, especially if you can have them cremated.
You get the pre-neep where, like, like right now, you could buy, like, plots and then make payments on it monthly until you pay it off and shit. Yeah,
that was I think somebody had a bit about it, but now they're having these like these tree pods now, where like they'll
Janner has that.
Yeah, they'll plant a tree on top of you or something.
Nope. My wife has very specific instructions. Yeah. My wife has very specific instructions in the case of my demise.
Burn the house down?
No, I want to be cremated and throw my ashes into the nearest garbage can. That's exactly what it says in my will.
I'll be cremated. I don't know what I'm doing with the ashes yet. But
yeah, I don't want people carry me around.
I want.
It was either that or sprinkle into a little bit of Wendy's chili, feed it to all my exes, so I could tear their asses up one more time.
I want to be put into a confetti can, burning shot bits over and nuts. A sports game.
There you go.
Or you've been made into a frisbee and end up on your neighbor's house.
I want to be cut into some fine fucking Colombian Coke.
Yeah. Like cut it with inner city
someone
drug dealer.
Turn my corpse into zucchini.
But no, those are the instructions. Yeah, I want to be cremated. I don't want any kind of memorial service. I don't want any of that shit. Just cook my ass, toss it.
Yeah, I'll be like cremated, but like I just want to go to a bar. You know what I mean? Like or not? Like I don't rent a funeral home out and do the whole shebang. Just go to a bar and maybe say a few words.
You know, I don't even want that. Just fucking cremate me, toss in the crash.
Because, I mean, most of the people I know is, like, through bars and shit.
What I used to...
That's
like,
fitting.
My thing used to be I wanted, like, cinder blocks strapped to my feet, and I'd be dropped from a helicopter into a Sunday school, like, wearing a top hat and a monocle, and they'd be playing the, they'd be playing the Jurassic Park theme from the helicopter.
What?
That's... It's a little interesting. It's unique. It's unique. It's definitely
Sunday school.
John Carpenter
Sunday
giving school. Her eulogy.
I don't think you're going to find a Sunday school to comply with that, nor are you going to find a funeral director that's willing to do it.
I omitted the fact I wanted to be naked minus the top hat, monocle, and cane. I wanted to be Mr. Peanut in the Sunday school.
That's fucking great. Wait, doesn't he wear like a fucking... Doesn't he wear a coat?
He's got like a suit on.
Yeah. Man. Well, no, I don't think he's got a suit. I think he's just got like a tail coat on.
I would. Oh, no, yeah, because yeah, so he's actually, just a peanut.
Yeah.
Well, right now, why don't you just have him drop you through Bill Hader's house? Because right now, he's the voice of Mr. Peanut.
I would
really?
Love,
yeah.
I would love for a bunch of like poor Catholic kids to just be crying as da-da-da-da-da. It's just going over the loudspeakers.
Yeah. It's like Waco, Texas, but worse.
Worse? No. More fun. That puts the fun in funeral.
Right? Yeah. I don't even recognize this song. This hasn't been relevant for 40 years.
4 years? It's longer than that.
No, I said 40. Like, by the time I'm dead, hopefully.
I was going to say. I've actually never seen the original Jurassic Park movie.
Good God.
Oh, I could tell you the list of movies I haven't seen. You'd be like, how are you even alive?
You don't even know the Velociraptors can open doors?
Apparently. I've heard things. I've never actually seen it on film, though.
Okay.
No, I don't watch movies. I don't watch TV. I'm a fucking weirdo.
Oh, yeah, we knew that.
I jerk off to Fox News, not because I like what they're saying, because they got the hottest chicks on any news channel.
Well, yeah.
Wait, but you're not
you know, there's like
one.
Free porn websites and shit, right?
Sometimes you got to change it up.
Oh, okay. You're saying.
Sometimes you've seen so many fucking videos.
Dude, that's happened the other day, dude.
Sometimes you feel like
I jerked off in the shower.
Sometimes you feel like busting one.
Dude, I jerked off in the shower. It was crazy. I went from like the Rolodex, like the highlight reel. It was crazy. I was like, I haven't done this
spank
in a long
bank.
Time. Yeah.
Spank bank.
I haven't done that in so long. I'm like, man, this is like bringing me back to like high school days and shit, you know?
And then you watch a little babies go down the drain.
His girlfriend was like, why is there still shampoo on the floor?
Well, I do that, right. And then I shit in the tub, and then I waffle stomp it down the
drain. Waffle stomping. You got to waffle stomp. Waffle stomp the nuggets down the drain.
Yeah, waffle stomp.
Waffle
I think
stomp.
You defecate.
No, you don't defecate in the shower. You defecate outside. You take a shit in the shower. You know?
Yes.
That's what we're talking about the way here, me and Matt. I was like, you don't... I was like, yeah, because Matt's like, I got a poo. He's like, I'm going to shit Steven's house. I'm like, no, you should defecate out back. And I was like, Wait, blame it on the dog. You only use the word defecate when it's outside or something fucked up.
Or it's a corpse, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a corpse.
He,
like
he
a
defecated
cop.
His pants.
Yeah, he defecated. Like, they don't, you know.
Subject
you
defecated at times.
Anything outside of a clinical setting.
Yeah, right. It's like, hey, can I use your bathroom? I got to go defecate. No one says that.
No, I got to go drop a deuce. Yeah. Yeah. Take the Cosby kids to the
Browns to the Super Bowl.
Take the Browns to the Super Bowl.
Right, mm-hmm. Then David is like, yeah, it's like James Woods, like a CSI thing. And he's like, he defecated down his urethra.
Yeah.
Yeah, he defecated. He didn't say.
That sounds like something he'd be into.
Ah. Yeah, he doesn't.
You know it's coming.
He didn't poop down it.
Yeah. Can you imagine like James Woods saying that? And then he defecated on the corpse.
I could definitely see James Woods fucking saying that because he's fucking crazy.
Yeah. He just puts his finger in it and like tastes it. He's like, yep, that's defecation.
Yeah, defecation.
You couldn't tell because it came from his ass. I had to be sure. Yeah,
you watched him do it.
I didn't could have been, but I didn't know if that was a new corn cannoli.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then if you defecate on somebody's head.
Oh, yeah. I was like, Roger. Because I was getting pissed because there was like fucking the traffic. Cause people can't drive.
Yeah. Me,
you know what I mean? So I get road rage and Matt's like, oh, man, you're getting crazy today with road rage. I'm like, yeah, Roger Brandon, give me a goddamn static. I'm going to defecate on his head and make a poopay.
That horrible. That's funny. See, that's the kind of hacky shit I like.
Yeah. See, that's hacky
stuff. That's the good stuff.
Give him a wool shit hat.
That's like the man version of the pussy pink hats. It's just a shit hat.
No, it's not a shitty hat. It's a shit hat.
Exactly. Exactly. Make a top hat out of shit? Dude, that's a lot of poop.
Just a poop emoji?
Yeah. Yeah, have that as your hat.
How are you going to keep it from getting, you know, falling apart? It'll get crumbly as it dries out. Some fruit, I have heard.
Yeah. You got to keep moisturizing. You just a little spray bottle.
Some lotion. Yes. Yeah. Puts the lotion on the shit.
I got to keep my shit fresh.
Yeah. That's a remake of a...
Yeah,
you
gotta cremate it.
So, you got some plugs, Roger?
I got lots of plugs.
Mm. Mm. You got lots of holes.
let's see. What do we got? Tuesday night this week, we got the Foo Bar Weekly Podcast. That is live at 9 p.m. You can find it on the Facebook and the Instagram at Foo Bar Weekly. Wednesday, going to be at the Oasis Lounge in Lakeland. Some guy named Stephen Henry is hosting. Got Paul Bond, Rio Paris, Mikey Judd, Riri, Art Zager,
Jared Miller.
Thanks, because I'm fucking retarded.
Did you say Paul Butera?
John Butera, Paul Bond's headlining Thursday. We're going to be down in Delray Beach.
With Patrick Welsh,
Katie Style, John Butera, and Paul Bond. And then Friday, got a whole shitload of people on that show. It's Paul Bond.
I think you're looking at one of them.
Oh.
That's right, David Wayne.
No, David. No, David's going to be. I'm getting to that. So just call me a tits, all right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, we got Paul Bond, John Butera, J.J. Curry, John Silman, Matt Williams, Shannon Kelly,
Little Raj,
Katie Styles jumping on that because Tommy Gill fucking bumped off. Yeah. Daniel Watkins is dropping in. And then in August, well, I'll be in New York the 22nd at McGuire's Comedy Club, 23rd at Governor's Comedy Club in Levittown, then the June 30th at Cafe Spiga in Mount Sinai, New York. Then that Friday at Governor's Levittown doing two shows in the Little Room. Then August, we are doing the Big Beautiful Men Tour.
The BBM.
BBM Tour with Preston Lacey from MTV's Jackass. David Wayne's going to be on that one.
Yeah.
I might let one of you two bitches on there. We're going
to
do four.
You have to wear a fat suit.
That's it.
I might not be able to do it.
Or because you keep losing weight. Stop that, man. You're making us look bad. All right?
When is that again?
That's going to be August
time to plump up 8th, there.
9th, 10th, and 11th.
Plump up.
The venues are to be determined, and for each night we're going to do the Friday show is going to be at Cayman Cove in Tampa. The Saturday show is probably going to be in Delray Beach. Wednesday might be in Lakeland, and the Thursday show I think I want to do in Orlando. I want to try and grab a spot in Orlando, so we'll put that together. But we're going to get all fat. It's all going to be big comics, big beautiful men tour. We did it in New York. It was a great thing. It was a good time. at the little room at Governor's Comedy Club. The stage is really small.
Yeah.
And we put all the comics that were on that show up on the stage. We had like 4,000 pounds of comic up on this tiny little fucking stage.
You gonna eat that dead fat guy?
Yeah, pretty much. So I got that. So yeah, FUBAR Weekly every Tuesday, 9 o'clock. That's cool. It. Yeah, that's what I got going on.
DW.
I got yeah. That's it. That's
Matt Williams?
I don't have much going on. I got a roast battle May 30th. I don't know if that's going to go through or not.
I just got booked for something with John J. Murray on Wednesday in Sarasota, I think, and then the Cayman Cove.
Nice.
And, yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, so I have the thing Roger mentioned, Oasis Lounge at the glorious Howard Johnson in Lakeland, Florida.
I like that place.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's right out of the 70s. Hasn't been redecorated since the 70s.
Yeah.
It's nice.
And then May 19th, there's the Community Rise Up thing where I'm the only comic on it at 8:30 at Janice Live. Yeah.
No pressure there, right?
No, no. Should be easy. I mean,
a bunch of people on Kava.
I've done that so many times, Janice Live. Following a band should be easy. $5, guys. Come on.
Do it.
All right. Tragic School Bus.
You liked that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
That was great.
I was like, God damn it.
All right. Until next time, fuckers. Bye.
Bye.